Amen. Could we turn, please, tonight to Mark's Gospel, chapter number 10. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 10. And as we mentioned to you this morning, we're going to be looking at four words tonight from the portion that we will be reading. And those four words from the portion that we will be reading tonight are the words, "And Jesus stood still." And Jesus stood still. Let's give attention to reading. We're going to begin our reading from verse 46. Mark chapter 10 and the verse 46. And reading down to the conclusion even of this 10th chapter of Mark's Gospel. Mark chapter 10 and verse 46. "And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried out the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good cheer, rise, he calleth for thee.' And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?' The blind man said unto him, 'Lord, that I might receive my sight.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." Amen. We'll end our reading at the end of the chapter, and we know that the Lord will bless to our hearts the public reading of his word. Let's just stand again for a very brief moment of prayer. Our loving Father, we ask thee to bless the public reading of thy word to each and every one of our hearts. We thank thee that this incident is truth, that there was a day in Jericho's history when the Lord Jesus passed through. There was a day in blind Bartimaeus' history when he met with Christ. And oh, we pray tonight for those who have never met with thee, for those who have never known what it is to be blessed in salvation by thee. O Lord, tonight we pray that thou wilt speak. O may the sinner hear the voice of Christ calling them. May they hear the call, that effectual call in the gospel. And may this be the beginning of days for them. A day when they're transformed from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. From the kingdom of Satan unto God. So Father, help us. Lord, I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Come tonight and give grace. Give guidance. Lord, give us every word to say, we pray. Lord, take us beyond our notes tonight. Oh, help us in the ministry of the word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm turning your attention tonight to the verse number 49. I trust you'll keep that portion of God's word open, because we'll be referring to the verses, all of them, pretty much, that we read together. And Jesus stood still. You know, it's a very interesting study to study the postures of the Lord Jesus Christ. The times he sat, the times he walked, the times he stood still. And there are many occasions when it is recorded in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ standing still. Oh, I would that we had such an event tonight in Port Glenoe, as the Lord Jesus standing still in Luke 4, that he might read Isaiah 61 in the synagogue there in Nazareth, and that he might say, this day are these things fulfilled before your very eyes. Remember how he stood still there at the feast in John chapter 7, and he cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Remember how he stood before Pilate, and how in the book of Acts it is recorded, how that he witnessed a good confession even there before Pilate in his judgment hall. Oh, the postures of Christ as he stood still. But Mark's gospel, how interesting it is that we should have it recorded in verse 49 that the Savior stood still. For you see, Mark's gospel records for us Christ the servant. It's a unique gospel, and it's unique from the point of view that it commences immediately with the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no mention of his genealogy. There's no mention of his time as a child at Nazareth. No, it immediately begins with the ministry of our Savior. And how many times the word anon or the word immediately is mentioned in this gospel to do with the ministry, the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's in this gospel, of all the gospels, that we read the words of our text this evening in the beginning of verse 49. And Jesus stood still. There are three things tonight, three thoughts I would like to leave with you, even on this text of Scripture. And I want even the boys and girls, the youngest, I hope will be able to follow our train of thought this evening, because our thoughts will be very simple, just upon the surface, even of this passage. And I want you to notice, firstly, when Jesus stood still. And we have the answer here in the verse 46, because we're told it was that as he went out of Jericho, he was making his way to Jerusalem. He had a journey of some 16 miles to travel between on foot between Jericho and Jerusalem. But let me tell you tonight, this was Christ on his last journey to Jerusalem. Christ was going on to the most momentous journey in history. He was going to the cross. He was going to drink of that cup and be baptized with that baptism that was prepared for him by the Father. He had steadfastly, we often quote it this way, he had as a flint set, for that's what it really means, had set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem. And that is why we read in Luke chapter 9 that whenever they sent those messengers before his face that he might visit the village of the Samaritans and to make ready for him, we're told how that they did not receive him. Why? Because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. Oh, never was there a journey in Christ's ministry more important, an errand so essential, and never was there anything involving such weighty consequences, men and women. Heaven, earth, and hell would all be affected by this journey. The glory of God was connected with it, and the redemption of man depended upon it, for he was going to the cross. And yet, imagine it tonight, going to the cross, and yet for this one man, the Lord of glory stood still. I wonder tonight, are you in this meeting, or listening, or maybe you will listen in future days to this ministry from this place, and I wonder tonight, do you think you're unimportant? I wonder tonight, does the thought often run through your mind, no man careth for my soul, no one is interested in me? Perhaps tonight you believe no one really cares. But oh, let me introduce you to the Christ of God. He cares. For here he is on the journey to the cross. And for this one man, he stands still. How important the individual is to Christ. Yes, you, sir. Even you, dear lady. Even you, young person, who feels that no one else cares. The Lord of glory does. You see, there is a Savior tonight who is available for each and every individual. For I want you to notice the words of verse 49 as it goes on there to say, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth for thee. Oh, my dear friend, how long has he called? How long has he called? How many opportunities have you wasted? How many times have you said no to the Savior? I want you to notice something secondly here. What was it that made Jesus stand still? You know, when we come to the Scriptures, there are many things recorded as standing still. The waves of the Red Sea stood still. The waters of the River Jordan stood and rose up upon a heap for the benefit of God's people and to allow them to pass over that river that was in spate. The sun and the moon stood still in the days of Joshua that the hosts of Israel might prolong their victory against their enemies. But tonight, men and women, I want to say to you, what are the waters of the sea? Or what are the lights of the sky? When compared to him who fixed the planets in their orbits, who fills the heaven of heavens, indeed the heaven of the heavens cannot contain him tonight. And yet he stood still when that crisis, the greatest in all this world's history, was fast approaching. For he, the Messiah, was soon to be cut off. He was to make an end of sin by the sacrifice of himself. He was to bring everlasting righteousness. And all this in answer to Bartimaeus' earnest cries. The prayer of a poor blind man stopped Christ. And he was stopped to restore his sight and to impart life to his dead soul, I believe. For if you take nothing else from this meeting this evening, let me tell you, take this to your heart this evening, that the prayer of the penitent has a power and has a power that the divine mercy never resists. But what was it made the Savior stand still? I want you to notice it was the call of Bartimaeus. Now, I don't want you to get it into your head tonight that this man was extra special. I don't want you going away thinking this evening, oh, that was Bartimaeus. The Lord would never do that for me. No, I want you to show you Bartimaeus. I want you to see tonight the character who called upon the Lord Jesus. Because we have the most somber of descriptions of this man in verse 46. A description, I believe, men and women, that once summed me up and perhaps sums you up tonight, even in this gathering. I want you to notice, firstly, he's called Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. The son of Timaeus literally means, are you ready for it? The son of the unclean. The son of the polluted. In other words, Bartimaeus was one who inherited the uncleanness and the pollution of a former generation. Doesn't it remind us of Psalm 51 and verse 5? Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. I'm reminded tonight, the young ones amongst us will learn undoubtedly the shorter catechism. And I'm reminded to the answer to question 16 And it tells us that the covenant being made with Adam, not only for himself but for his posterity, listen, all mankind descending from him by ordinary generation sinned in him and fell with him in his first transgression. Imagine tonight Adam's the trunk of the tree. And imagine that from Adam every generation is its branches. And let me tell you, just like the branches fall when the tree is felled, so when Adam fell in the garden, knowing what he did, rebelling against God, every generation has fallen with him, and we are all sinful. Just as Bartimaeus was, the son of unclean, the son of the polluted. But I want you to notice there's a further description here in verse 46. For he's spoken of as being blind. He was known as blind Bartimaeus. And in verses 49 and 51 you'll see again, he's mentioned, it's emphasized that he is the blind man. And we're told that the unsaved tonight have been blinded. The God of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in their hearts. This sinner is without spiritual knowledge, blind to truth, and by reason of your blindness tonight, you lack that true guidance, that sure guide, that heavenward guide that will bring you at last to a peaceful eternity. Oh, listen, he was a son of the unclean. He was a blind man. But notice in verse 46, he was a beggar. He sat at the highway side begging. Now, I know tonight that there is a certain pleasure in sin. Oh, I would not be foolhardy enough to say that there's not a certain pleasure in sin. But have you ever considered the cost of sin? Have you ever considered what it will cost you to continue in sin? Sin makes men and women and young people beggars. It robs them of their youth. It robs them of their purity. It robs them maybe of their money. It maybe robs them. It certainly robs them of a peaceful eternity. And dear knows what else the cost of sin in a life may well bring. He was a beggar. And I wonder tonight what sin is costing you. What anguish, what heartbreak, what burden of soul it is costing you this evening. But I want you to notice something else. He was a citizen of the city of the curse. For Jericho was the city of the curse. We're told of that in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 20, where we read, "Cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this Jericho." No, dear unsaved one tonight, could I but show you the curse that hangs over your head? Could I but show you tonight and had the words to describe to you the wrath of God that already abides upon you? Children of the curse, condemned already, the wrath of God abiding upon you, lost, undone, hell-bound. He was a citizen of the city that the judgment of God rested upon. But I want you to notice not only the character who called. Let me take you a step further and show you the content of his call. It's very interesting when we compare what the people said to what Bartimaeus said. Because they said to him, when he asked the question, what was going on? In verse 47, it was clearly the people that told him. that it was Jesus of Nazareth. Oh, they only knew where the Lord had come from. It was nothing special or significant to know that his name was called Jesus. For surely they would have heard that from the crowd. But here's a man that had a fuller, a truer knowledge of who Christ really was and of his need of him. Would to God he would bring you to that position this evening. I want you to notice what he says in verse 47. Underline it tonight. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. You see, I believe he was a man who knew the scriptures of Isaiah. And how that in chapter 42, it was said there that the Messiah would come to open the blind eyes and to bring out the prisoners from the prison house and them that sat in the darkness out of the prison house. I believe he knew these scriptures. I believe he had heard these words. And these words pointed him to Christ, men and women. But more than that, he knew that Jesus was this Messiah. He clearly knew that he was the Savior, for the word Jesus made Savior. And he cries out to the Lord, have mercy on me. In other words, he knew that mercy was Christ to give. Tell me, have you learned that lesson tonight? I know there are those tonight in our land and they believe they can come to the Lord when they choose. Nope. Let me tell you, salvation's of the Lord from first to last. Let me tell you tonight, dear friend, I know it's a hard truth to accept, but let me tell you tonight that mercy is of the Lord. And he will not always call. And he will not always challenge your heart. But Bartimaeus knew it is of God that showeth mercy. And he cries out here, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy. Notice the words, on me. I'm the sinner Jesus came to save. I'm acknowledging my sin. I'm admitting I'm vile before you. And Lord Jesus, it's only you and you alone can cleanse me and forgive me from my sin. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Oh, what content there is in this call. Did you notice the constancy of his call? Verse number 48. The people tell him to hold his peace. But I want you to notice here, but he cried the more a great deal. You see, my friend, he understood something. And would to God this truth would be born upon your heart this evening. He knew that this was his one opportunity. It was his one opportunity to meet Christ. It was his one opportunity to know the touch of Christ. It was his one opportunity to be changed by Christ, because notice verse 46, it says of the Savior, and as he went out of Jericho. He wasn't returning. He was going to the cross. He was rising from the dead. He was going to heaven to present his blood as a sacrifice for sin. He wasn't coming back to Jericho. This was this man's only opportunity. And therefore, in importunity, he asked. He seeks. He knocks. And he keeps on crying again and again. And I wonder tonight, is this God's final call for you? Think of it. God's final call. That day will come, sinner. That day will come. His final call. And then you'll not just be doomed. But if I might use the word tonight, you will be damned. No hope. Fanny Crosby often visited the prisons in her locality. On those visits she would speak of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he had done for her soul, and she would sing her hymns. On one such visit, just as she made her way out of the prison house, she heard a prisoner cry out, and respectfully I use these words tonight, I quote, this is a direct quote. The prisoner cried out, and I quote, "Good Lord, do not pass me by." And that evening she penned the words of the lovely hymn we commenced our service with. "Pass me not, O gentle Saviour, hear my humble cry, while on others thou art calling. Do not pass me by." Could this be God's final call to you? I want you to notice not only the character who called, I want you to notice not only the content of his call and the constancy of his call, but let me look at it from another side in concluding this point tonight. What was it that made Christ stand still? I want to tell you, it was his compassion. It was his compassion. For if you turn to Matthew's record of this, Matthew speaks of two blind men. I know that, but I believe it's the same, the very same incident, even in the ministry of the Savior. And in Matthew 20 and verse 34, we're told these words, "So Jesus had compassion on them." And that's what made him stand still, men and women. Here's the Christ who wept over Jerusalem. Here's the Christ that saw the people as sheep without a shepherd. And his heart was broken for them. And his heart was filled with compassion for them. Oh, dear friend, the love that Christ has for the lost. He would cry to you tonight, turn ye, for why will you die? He has no desire that you should die and be lost eternally. He longs to save you. He sends those, so imperfect though we may be, to minister to you and exhort you to flee from the wrath to come. Why? Because he loves sinners. And see him there hanging on the cross. And can you question tonight the love of Christ? For God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's why he stood still. We've looked at when he stood still and why he stood still. Can I commence tonight by looking at why Jesus stood still? There are three accounts of this incident. It's not only in Mark's Gospel that we read of this. We've already indicated that by turning you to Matthew's Gospel as well. And in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20 and verse 32, we read, "He called." He called. And that speaks to me tonight of the sovereign call of God. His call by grace to individuals. I want you to notice in Mark chapter 10 and verse 49, we read there, "And commanded him to be called." Now that's a different call. He commands the people. It's the ministry of man. The Lord gives the word. Great was the company of them that published it, the scriptures tell us. So here's the Lord giving them the word. "I want you to call Bartimaeus." And let me tell you tonight, there is the sovereign, effectual call of God. But let me tell you also, there is that common call to each and every one in this gathering, in the car park, through the CD ministry, even in this community, the common general call of the gospel. We are his ambassadors. To us is committed the gospel or the ministry of reconciliation. We're employed to explain the divine call and to repeat it tonight before your hearts. There is wrath, so beware. Seek the Lord while he may be found. There is a sovereign call. There is the general call. But I want you to notice in Luke 18, if you turn to it in verse 40, again, it's the same incident that we're looking at. A different aspect of this call. And I want you to notice here, he commanded him to be brought. He commanded him to be brought. And I believe we have a lovely picture there of the work of God, the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, there's a sovereign God who calls. There's a ministry of his servants, of his ambassadors, but never forget the work of the Holy Spirit, which must accompany the message that is preached, to bring it home with power and assurance, even to the hearts of those who hear, with a convincing of their sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come, that they might be brought to Christ. This call. But why did Jesus stand still? He stood still to receive Bartimaeus. You ever think of it? This blind man, this beggar, this man, the son of pollution, this man of the city of destruction, he stood still to receive him. You see, men and women, this man receiveth sinners. And if you think tonight I'm a sinner, boy Ian, you have no idea how vile I am. Wait, I tell you something. I was every bit as vile as you. But I've proved by personal experience, Jesus Christ receiveth sinners. He receives them. Because he received me. And I want to tell you something. He didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners unto repentance. And do you notice how Bartimaeus comes to Christ? Verse 50. Oh, you need to come, sinner. You need to come. And notice how he comes. He casts away his garment and he rose and he came to Jesus. He gets rid of all that would hinder him and all that would prevent him coming to Christ. Let me ask you tonight, friend, is it the acquaintance? Let me ask you tonight, maybe it's even your wife. Or is it some member of the extended family circle that would hinder you from coming to the Savior? Listen, they'll laugh you into hell, but they'll never laugh you out of it. Discard it. Put it behind you. And say tonight, I will have nothing hinder me from coming to Christ. And he comes in all of his nakedness, and he comes in all of his shame, and he comes in all of his unworthiness, and he comes, like the hymn writer put it, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. Blind Bartimaeus could say, O Lamb of God, I'm coming. Will you say that tonight? Let me conclude by saying, Jesus stood still to relieve him. Not only to receive him, but to relieve him, to bless him. I want you to notice the words of verse 51. I want you to let them sink in, my dear friend. Because this is the same Jesus today. His power is not diminished today. And I want you to notice what he says to Bartimaeus. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? I want you to get a grip of that tonight. I want you to let those words sink in. Those are mighty words. The Lord of glory is saying, Bartimaeus, you just ask me whatever you want. I can give it. I can give it. There's nothing beyond me, Bartimaeus. Tell me tonight, even Christian in this meeting, you're burdened about something. I don't know why I'm saying this tonight, but obviously the Lord would want it to be said, but you're burdened tonight. You're anxious tonight. There's a worry and a care in your heart tonight. And you're almost afraid to take it to the Lord in prayer. It's so great a thing. And you're maybe nearly ashamed to take it in prayer. You wonder, could God sort this mess out? Oh, my dear friend, let me tell you, God is able to sort out any mess. Praise God, hallelujah. He was able to sort out the mess that was Bartimaeus. He says to Bartimaeus, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? There's absolutely nothing beyond the power of God. For I want you to notice in the verse 52 that Bartimaeus was healed instantly. And there were signs following that healing. For immediately he receives his sight and he followed Jesus in the way. And Matthew tells us that he glorified God.
Change.
And in heaven tonight, where my dear Father is, I wonder if he's met Bartimaeus. You forgive me that personal wee antidote, I trust. But in heaven tonight, Bartimaeus remembers the day Jesus stood still. He remembers it. For that was the beginning of days for him. And that was the day when Jesus changed his life and made him a new creation in Christ. My dear friend, dear lost one tonight, he's able to do the same for you. He hasn't lost his power. He's the same Saviour, for he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The question is, will you come? Will you come? Will you call? Will you seek him while he is to be found? Will you call upon him while he is near? Let's close in a word of prayer. Thank you very much for your attention tonight. I trust the Lord has blessed the word to every heart. If there's anyone concerned, why, get in touch with the elders. Any one of them would be delighted to speak to you. I know these are difficult times, but even over the phone, maybe we should say to you, don't leave the car park before you're in Christ, in case you don't make it home. Seek him right now. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. But if you're concerned tonight, don't leave without Christ. Just call where you're at. Just as Bartimaeus, he called where he was at. He didn't get up. He didn't walk a bit of the way to call. He just called where he was in all of his sin. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. That's what you call. That's what you call. Our loving Father, bless thy word till every heart. We thank thee for the reality of what you did in the life of Bartimaeus. What a change. What a change. A man who needed others to guide him. Now he's following Jesus in the way. And he's glorifying God for what the Christ of God had done for his soul. Oh God, we thank thee. You have the power today to change lives. Lord, may sinners seek thee while thou art to be found. May even God's people, with that burden and that problem that they feel is so very great, oh, help us to cast it at the Saviour's feet and to cry to him that he might change our circumstances and bless us anew. Lord, part us in thy fear and with thy blessing. Take what has been of thee and write it upon every heart. Thank you for thy help. Continue to be with us this evening and undertake for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.